Welcome to Meta Strategies Forum on World Class IT. I'm Peter High, and I'm pleased to welcome Patty Morrison to the broadcast. Patty is the Executive Vice President of Customer Care Shared Services and Chief Information Officer of Cardinal Health, a Fortune 21 healthcare products and services company. Patty's been in that role since 2009 and has been responsible for Cardinal Health's enterprise-wide IT, customer contact centers, and contracts and pricing. Prior to her current role, Patty was EVP and CIO of Motorola, where she oversaw all strategic, operational, and financial aspects of their IT architecture, systems, tools, processes, and infrastructure. Prior to Motorola, Patty was the EVP and CIO of Office Depot, CIO of Quaker Oats, CIO of Industrial Systems at General Electric, and held various positions at Procter & Gamble. Patty was named 2007 CIO of the Year by the Executives Club of Chicago and the Association of Information Technology Professionals. She was also inducted into the CIO Magazine Hall of Fame in 2008. Patty served on the board of directors for Joann Fabrics and Crafts prior to the company's going public in 2010. She's currently on the board of directors of Splunk, a tech startup founded to make machine data accessible, usable, and valuable. Patty holds a Bachelor of Arts in Mathematics and Statistics and a Bachelor of Science in Secondary Education from Miami University of Ohio, graduating summa cum laude. I recently caught up with Patty in her office in Columbus, Ohio, and our conversation covered world-class IT Principle 4, IT and Business Partnerships, as we discussed her role as CIO of many major corporations, her CIO Plus role at Cardinal Health, her standing as a board-level CIO, as well as a variety of other topics. The Forum on World Class IT is brought to you by Red Hat, the world's leading open source solutions provider. Learn more at redhat.com. Well, Patty Morrison, welcome to the Forum on World Class IT.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Patty, I thought we'd begin for those of our listeners who may be less familiar with Cardinal Health. Can you take just a brief moment and describe the business?
Sure. Cardinal Health is a healthcare services company. We provide a lot of different services across the various areas that healthcare is delivered, whether it's at retail or in hospitals and physician offices and all the way to the home. Our services include areas like pharmaceutical and medical device distribution, but we also manufacture medical products. We do service in supply chain quite extensively across that continuum of care as well.
Your role is as CIO, but also as the head of customer care shared services. And I wonder if you could take a moment to describe each of those roles, especially the second one, which may be less familiar to our listeners.
As the global CIO for Cardinal Health, I have responsibility for all of the infrastructure and applications that run our enterprise around the world. We operate in China and Puerto Rico, Canada and the U.S., primarily our commercial businesses in the U.S., but we also manufacture in Thailand and Mexico. So everything that we do to run all of those operations, I have responsibility for making sure it runs every day. From a system standpoint. As part of my role as CIO, I'm also responsible for the commercial technology platforms. These are technologies that are embedded in many of our healthcare services that are actually deployed to our external customers. So I have a chief technology officer that also reports to me. In customer care shared services, I have responsibility for our call center operations that support our retail and acute and ambulatory customers. And I also have responsibility for our contract and pricing administration back offices.
And you, Patty, had been a CIO multiple times over, most recently at Motorola and at Office Depot, before joining Cardinal Health as CIO. You didn't have the second set of responsibilities at the outset, but rather were asked to take on those additional responsibilities you've just described after you joined the company. I wonder, what was it about your role as CIO, your past experience as CIO, that lent itself nicely to these additional responsibilities that you've taken on?
I think that we had a lot of discussion about that when I did take the responsibility. I think One of the primary drivers is that much of what we do in our IT portfolio and priorities is customer facing, whether it's building our commerce platforms or building analytic and insight-based products for our customers. So much of what we spend our investment in is to make our customer experience better. So the role of call centers, for example, is very analogous to that. It's all part of that experience. And there's a lot of technology components to providing that service, particularly as our customers, whether in the B2B world or in the B2C world, move more and more to electronic interaction with us. So I think it was a natural part of what I work on as part of my IT role. And then, of course, as part of my IT role, I run a very large operation. So running call centers and back office administration is something I do every day on the IT side. So I have a lot of experience in what it takes to keep an operation performing at its best every day.
You know, I think it's particularly interesting, Patty, that you mentioned that a lot of your role, even as CIO, to say nothing of the additional responsibilities with the customer care shared service, is customer facing. And a lot of your peers, as of course you know, don't have that luxury, don't have that responsibility, and don't necessarily have adequate end customer touch point. Perhaps one of the reasons why so many CIOs refer to colleagues as customers rather than the people who actually provide value or revenue to the company. The IT department that you found when you joined the organization, to what extent was it natural for IT to be so customer-centric? And I also wonder if you can talk a bit about the changing role of the average IT person or IT executive in terms of their ability and need to be much more cognizant of the needs of customers.
I've been here about 4.5 years now. Most enterprises go through a phase of investment in IT, which is about your back office transaction processing. And certainly Cardinal went through those investments as well. But we felt that when we looked at where we could get the best return from investing capital, for example, in IT, it was in those customer-facing touch points. And particularly as we extend inventory management, for example, those types of solutions that go directly to our real customers, how we help them save money, how we help them choose the products that are going to best service the needs of patients. So much of our technology portfolio extends to that reach. We call our internal customers our functional partners, not our customers. You know, our customers are the hospital, the physician's office, or the retail pharmacy, for example. So that was a very purposeful move of how we want to invest in technology as part of our healthcare services. And I think maybe more natural for a company like Cardinal, where everything we do is a service in and of itself, right? So that's part of our role and part of the value that we bring to our customers every day. Probably a little bit further removed perhaps would be companies that would be more like manufacturing companies that are a little bit of a step removed and are very focused on efficiency. I don't want to say we're not focused on efficiency. It's very important that we do everything very efficiently in IT and in customer care because, of course, we try to save money for our customers every day, too. So I think it was a deliberate move, something we talk about as an executive team all the time.
Are there special ways in which you ensure that members of your team have logical customer touch points to draw inferences from them as to how technology would make their lives easier, help them choose the right products, help them save money, just to use some of the examples you just gave?
Absolutely. All the way back into the shared services group that run my data centers, they spend time with our customers. We have to change how we do our work, we have to do it more iteratively and with much more speed. And as we develop applications and solutions, I mean, we are living in oncology practices or the time that we spend listening to calls, using technology like speech analytics to really understand what are our customers telling us about what's working for them, what isn't working for them. So my divisional CIO spent a lot of time meeting directly with our large hospital customers and really understanding how their back offices work, how do they order products. It's very important for us to do that, and it's something that you have to plan to do.
It's logical, Patty, with an organization your size, in excess of $100 billion in revenue, the major businesses, each of which would be a Fortune 500, many of which at least would be Fortune 500 companies unto themselves, that you have the divisional CIO structure that you just referenced. And I'd like to understand, how do you govern that? If I may, what is the reporting relationship for the divisional CIOs into their own businesses versus to you? And how do you foster collaboration across those different organizations and their IT departments?
The one thing that is really great about Cardinal is that our executive team, which includes our business CEOs and our functional leaders, we are a very collaborative team. That makes it very natural for the IT and the customer service leaders to also operate collaboratively. They report directly into me, and they also report into their business unit CEOs. So they're full-time members of both staff, and to complement our division CIOs and our head of customer service who are in that front line, we support them with a shared services leader who runs the back end, the infrastructure, the middleware, the corporate functional applications. We have an enterprise architect who's doing planning with the entire team. A chief information security role is also under our enterprise architect. And then, of course, I mentioned we have a specific group that focuses on that commercial technology piece, and that's a chief technology officer role. So that's really the team, and we meet regularly and to make sure that we are focused on what's most important, not only to each of our businesses that we support, but also to the enterprise.
Having spoken with a great number of people like yourself, who I've referred to as CIO pluses, those who have CIO responsibilities and additional ones like you do, I come to recognize that it's so important, perhaps even more so, to have a strong team, as the executive naturally is pulled in multiple directions depending upon priorities in each of those areas of responsibility. And I wonder, as you plan to take on the additional responsibilities as the head of customer care shared services, how you thought about the team you needed in place to be able to, perhaps for brief periods, dispel you or make decisions without you, because your focus would naturally have to swing back and forth depending upon, again, as I say, those priorities or how those were shifting around.
Clearly, it always comes down to the team. And I think for me, when I did take on the additional responsibilities, it also became an opportunity for my team to also increase their responsibility. So we did shift some things around. It's a great opportunity for them to grow in their own responsibilities. And I believe very strongly, I probably spend at least 50% of my time just on talent, because it's not only my direct report, but it's the talent of my entire leadership, because I believe that that's what's really key to executing well. Once we know strategically the direction that we want to go, where we want to invest, having the right team is what ensures that we're going to execute against that as flawlessly as possible. So we spend a lot of time as an organization on talent development.
You are also a representative of a trend that seems to be increasing, though still not necessarily by any stretch of the imagination, the domain of the average CIO. But you have served on the board of multiple companies. Some examples, you were on the board of SPSS, which was acquired by IBM back in 2009. You're currently a board member of Splunk, and if I did my research appropriately, I believe you're the only CIO among the board. I'd love to understand from you what you gained from your experience in joining corporate boards, and also what you think you bring to the table as a CIO among other executives of those boards from your past experience.
Sure. And I think there's no coincidence that both SPSS and Splunk are in the big data space. You know, my background personally is in analytics, and it's a passion, and I believe very strongly in the I in CIO. That information component is, I believe, what is an enormous value driver for enterprises. And so I think what I gained for Cardinal, or for any company that had been the CIO and in participating as a director, is a really deep understanding of the technology evolution and areas that are growing where that innovation is. I also think probably the most important is it makes me think like a shareholder every single day. As a director of a public corporation, that is your job, to represent the shareholders of the company. And when I bring that back to my day job, that's an important hat that I have to wear in every decision that I make. It helps me to understand the impact on enterprise risk, the impact on creating shareholder value, our total shareholder return, and how I spend money and the shareholders' money to make investments in growth and the return on those investments. It helps me in looking at areas like compensation and being a participant as an executive here at Cardinal. It gives me a broader perspective about the types of issues that all public companies will face in governance and direction. So I think it's a very powerful development for CIOs to become directors of public companies or advisors in emerging startups, for example, because it helps you bring that perspective back to your day job. The thing that I think is really important also, what CIOs bring to board, technology can be an incredibly disruptive factor in many, many industries. And we've seen that obviously over the past decade, how disruptive it is, either slowly or quickly. I believe very strongly that boards need to have technology perspective in the boardroom as you look at strategy, as you evaluate risk that can come from technology as well. And in some cases where products are actually digitized products, it's even more important that you have deep technical understanding. I believe that there's sometimes a reluctance to do so because there's not a clear understanding that a CIO is equally a business executive and brings that business acumen into a boardroom versus just the technical acumen, which I think at times can be somewhat intimidating, or maybe there's a difficulty in communicating. So boards that do bring that technical expertise, I think that those companies will be more successful as a result. And I hope to see more CIOs join public boards in the future.
For those people, those current CIOs or aspiring CIOs who wish to follow in your footsteps and become a director or board member of a company, what advice would you give them, Patty?
Well, I think that there are two things that you can do. One is to use the existing recruiting relationships or search firm relationships that you have to make sure they know your interests. And you have to have the commitment of your boss to commit the time. Some companies allow participation in public boards and some don't. I think you have to understand I have great support from my boss, George Bear, to participate on a public board. So he and I could have that discussion about what type of board, what should we agree that would be a good fit, because you do have to bring something back, right? It's a two-way. Having those relationships with the search firms that are out and about and working on placement in public boards, they need to know you're interested in it. That's important, and so I think you should be vocal about that interest. The other thing is that there is a degree of networking. I certainly hope that I can help, for example, women CIOs network effectively, because I think it's also important that the boards add diversity. So it's helping through that network to know of potential opportunities. I think your peers and your boss and your own board of directors. I mean, I attend every Cardinal board meeting as well. So those people need to know that you're interested in doing it as well. It's not easy. It's a very big time commitment. You have to make sure the dates will work. But I think if you're proactive, then a match will happen. There certainly are opportunities out there.
So mentioned such an important point in your description of why some companies are reluctant. And part of what you mentioned was CIOs are known to have the IT acumen naturally. They don't necessarily have the reputation historically for the business acumen. By extension, Patty, does that mean that one of the early steps that a CIO who aspires to go to the board must take is to think about running IT like a business? And as you pointed out before, making sure you have ROIs and almost thinking about the IT department as having a P&L of sorts.
Absolutely. Running IT like a business and being able to tell the IT strategy and the story of what you're trying to accomplish, and by telling a story, how you communicate. It's not about technical PowerPoints, right? It's learning how to have that discussion is also important. So I think there's that communication as well as understanding the common financial terminology of what you do. I would suspect in most companies, certainly in service industries like Cardinal, a lot of the capital that we spend is directed towards technology investment or in customer-facing investment in our customer service area. So, you know, it's really critical for me to understand how I'm returning value to the shareholder for making those investments. So I think the more that you can learn to do that as a CIO, that certainly is going to make you shine if you get the opportunity to interview for a public board.
I wanted to ask you a little bit more about analytics, which you've brought up a couple of times for very good reason, as one of those areas that IT can add value. And as you point out, I really like that. The I in the CIO's title needs to be very meaningful. How have you thought about the process of building analytics skills and acumen within Cardinal Health? And to what extent is this an opportunity to partner with multiple parts of the organization? Who comes to play when you're thinking about analytics?
It's a really good question and a very important one, because analytics is many different things to many people. And in many ways here at Cardinal, we've actually feel so strongly about analytic competencies being important that we have built an entire career roadmap for analytics. And there's the IT component, which is how do you build data, right? What are the data and the tools and the technologies that are used to actually perform analytics? But then developing deeper analytical talent in areas like pricing and inventory management and digital marketing and in just marketing generally when it comes to market segmentation. And healthcare in particular, analytics that look at how we impact outcomes or cost competitiveness of our customer base. Everywhere you go, there's the need to develop that analytical talent and thinking. And so we have very specific training programs that create that analytical talent across the company, because it's so critical to our future performance.
I wanted to ask you, as we're talking about clearly a very profound trend, both for businesses as well as for IT, are there other ones that particularly excite you, Patty, as you look through your own crystal ball for the next few years? What are some other trends that are tech-centric but business impactful that you're thinking about?
I think that one of the bigger trends that I get very excited about is how do we create speed? There are many different ways to create speed. One is more use of software as a service or other cloud-based solutions. Can we move faster as a result of accepting applications as they're designed without a lot of configuration or customization, building on cloud-based infrastructure solutions that enable us to fire up technology faster, how we look at agile methodology to do application development, and how we apply lean and operational excellence to how we develop and move faster. I think those are really critical. The world of healthcare changes on a daily basis, so that agility and that speed is very strategically important as we're trying to make a difference for our customers. So there's a lot of the components of the cloud, I believe, that do drive that speed. I think they're emerging quite nicely every day. There's lots of challenges to moving to the cloud that you have to deal with in our industry, and there's regulatory and all that stuff, but I think it's all things that we can do. So that's very exciting to me.
I like the way in which you frame that. It needs to be a weapon that IT employs to make sure that the velocity of business increases. I really like that. And not only the technical components, but also the process components, the operational components that you mentioned, how you can weave those together in a web to be very powerful.
I think one thing is it's not just the IT side of it. One of the things I love about wearing both functional role in customer service and an IT role is I get to think about the things that I have to do as a functional partner. I have to think about usability. I have to participate in application development in a different way. It's not like, well, here's my requirements, IT, you go away and do the work and come back. So it's a very profound trend, not only impacting the IT professional, but impacting everybody in working together to create solutions for our customers. Change is across the board.
Morrison, thank you so much for joining us on the Forum on World Class IT and sharing some of the practices that you've used to be such a successful executive across your career. It's been a great conversation.
Thanks, Peter. I enjoyed it.
The Forum on World Class IT would like to thank Red Hat, the world's leading provider of open source solutions, for being our corporate sponsor. Red Hat is a catalyst in communities of customers, contributors, and partners creating better technology the open source way. Connect to an ecosystem of innovation at redhat.com today to learn more. You've just listened to a podcast in a series we call MetaStrategies Forum on World-Class IT. If you like what you've heard, please consider reading my book, World-Class IT, Why Businesses Succeed When IT Triumphs, published by Josie Bass, a division of Wiley Press, in December of 2009. Both the book and the forum on World-Class IT offer stories from a wide range of top IT leaders relating to MetaStrategies' five principles of World-Class IT. The five principles are as follows. Principle one is people, and it's really the foundational principle. Without the right people doing the right jobs at the right time, it'll be nearly impossible to achieve excellent performance. The second principle is infrastructure. We like to say that this is the principle that separates proactive organizations from reactive ones. If infrastructure is not reliably performing its tasks, the IT organization will become stuck in reactive mode, consistently fighting fires. If systems and hardware and networks and so on work reliably, then a larger portion of the organization can think about the future. The third principle is project and portfolio management. This is the engine through which new capabilities can be brought to bear on behalf of the company. It is important to ensure that projects are delivered on time, on budget, and on target, and that the portfolio collectively supports the objectives of the business. The fourth principle is IT and business partnerships. It's important that, first and foremost, the different parts of IT, from business analysis to development and QA, through to support and all other aspects of IT, communicate effectively and efficiently. It's equally important, then, that IT develop a partnering relationship with the business that it is a part of. If the three prior principles are done well, then IT should earn a place at the strategy setting table, driving different parts of the business strategy. The fifth and last principle is external partnerships. Outsourcing is becoming a crucial weapon that organizations are employing, and managing these relationships to ensure that value is achieved is critical. In the fourth principle, the organization has learned and contributed to the discussion about what is strategic and what is not. Once that's clear, then it will be easier to determine which aspects of IT might be better managed by external partners or vendors. For more information on these five principles and the sub-principles that are associated with each, please visit our website at www.metastrategy.com, and please share your thoughts and comments by contacting us at feedback@metastrategy.com. And our theme music was written by David Armin. I'm Peter High. Thanks for listening.